Robbie and Rex Road is brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. And we're here at the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Chase McCabe, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on a Friday morning. I'm in for Robbie Stanley today. And remember, you can watch us as well on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Joe, we got into this a little earlier in the show and got a lot of response on our text line when talking about the concession prices at Geodis Park, the new home of Nashville SC, and how this all started. You know, the Midday Show talked about it. Jared obviously ranted about it yesterday. He tweeted out a picture, but it's been floating around the last 2 days, a couple of days. I saw it on Reddit of the concession prices, $6.49 for a hot dog, $5.99 for French fries or a pretzel, $4.99 for popcorn. This is all before tax. A premium large can beer, $15.99. And as I said this morning, like, I get it. Concessions in general, the prices aren't very good, no matter where you go. Now, what we don't know is, you know, are there going to be sections where you can get more of a deal? Is this a club level? Is this, you know, we don't know all the particulars of where this particular concession stand is. And, you know, they may come out with some specials. They may adjust these prices. There's a lot of factors here before the stadium actually opens. But on first glance, this isn't very good. And my stance on it is, when you're trying to build a fan base, even though I recognize the diehards that have been with Nashville SC from the very beginning and are helping to with this process to build a fan base, you want to get the people that just don't know that much about it. They've never really gotten into soccer. They want to come check out your product. They want to look for something to do with their families. And, you know, a $6.50 hot dog is not the way to do that, in my opinion. So, obviously, a lot of different factors with it. But your thoughts on this with these concession stand prices at Geodis Park?
Yeah, look, a couple of them jump out at you, and you're like, wow. Now, but at the same time, it's very rare that I go to a game, go to a concessions line anymore, and there isn't at least one thing on the menu where I'm like, really? That's that much? Atlanta, of course, well-documented, reduction, but that also went in tandem with like huge PSL number. So like if I'm someone who's actually thinking about, okay, do I want to go or not to, sorry, my kids keep turning the lights on and off of my face here. Do I want to
keep? Good morning, kids.
Yes. Yes. Just go get that free Spring Hill breakfast. Do I want to go to this game? And take the kids. Do I want to take the kids? Okay. Well, I'm going to price out everything. So if I'm Nashville SC, I mean, I think I have to compare myself to the Preds. I have to compare myself to the Titans and the Sounds and think about where do we fall into this, and what is the parking situation? What's the ticket situation? What's the concessions? You know, what does it cost a family of four, a family of five to spend a day with us? Because, you know, if you are someone considering it and you add everything up, it's pretty sobering today in general how expensive it is to go to a game. It's depressing, you know? Yeah. And look, I mean, frankly, quote unquote, regular people have been largely priced out of live sporting events, and it is much more catering to people with a lot of money. And I don't begrudge teams for wanting to tap into, suites and luxury seating and luxury offerings that are going to, for people who just have unlimited funds. Yeah, you want to tap into that, but I think it's also really important. You see some college football programs, for example, more and more it's club seating, it's suites. This is the priority. Smaller stadiums, more of that, right? But then you also have these programs with, like, you know, like the family four pack. You get four hot dogs and four pops, and, you know, all this stuff for like whatever it is, $200, you know, something like that. Like, so there's a lot to it. You need to really think in terms of that. And I honestly, my biggest concern for Geodis Park, which I'm very excited to see, I'm very excited to buy tickets soon and go with my family, is the parking situation.
Yeah, no, and that's something they're definitely going to have to address, because here's the other part of it. And you just hit on this a little bit, of if you're a season ticket holder and you're a diehard soccer fan, they're going to keep you. They you know, they don't have to try as hard to keep you. And this is year one, so they've sold 22,000 season tickets, which is great. They're sold out for the first game, which is awesome. Let's see what happens in year two, because that's when you actually have to start working for it. It's not new anymore. That, and so to me, getting the guy like me that is not a diehard soccer fan, that is still learning the sport, that, you know, even though I've worked with the team some and engineered their games, you know, that I was able to learn more about it. It's, you know, it's obviously not my favorite sport. Like a lot of people in Nashville, you want to make it easier for me to have an enjoyable experience, because I'm the one that you're trying to keep coming back, because you have to sell me on it. It's just like when the Predators first started. It's just in some ways when the Titans got here, but less because it's the NFL. You know, it's just you have to keep the average fan coming back. Having parking issues and expensive concession prices is not the way to do that. Nate on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, said, I don't know if y'all said this earlier, but Ascend Amphitheater has about the same prices. He's right. I mean, I've always thought that Ascend's prices were pretty ridiculous. And I also brought this up earlier. I get that the market for concessions for pro sports or concerts or things like that is not very good. And I think that all the leagues need to look at it. Going to a Titans game, if you're buying a ticket and then parking and the concessions, it's too damn expensive. That's the NFL. I mean, it's way too expensive. And that's why you have a lot of people that basically say, yeah, I got a fridge full of beer and I'll sit on my couch and watch my HDTV. And I have my phone that works and I can place my bets or I can check my fantasy team. And some of those people, you're never getting them back. You're just not going to. You could say, hey, $10 ticket night and $2 hot dogs and $1 water or whatever. They still won't go, and because they've made up their mind. But when you're new, like Nashville SC still is, and this is their first year in their own place, you have to do these little things to keep people coming back.
Yeah, and look, like I said, I can't wait to go experience like a game day there with my kids. I think it'll be a blast. But will we be coming back regularly? I mean, I think people want to think they're also getting a good value out of this, right? And look, it's, we know what this city is. The competition for your dollars and for your time is fierce around here. You know, Ascend is an interesting thing to bring up, because I agree, it's ridiculous how expensive stuff is there. But this also speaks to, so for me and my wife with Katie, like we will go there even for like artists that we don't necessarily love, because I love the place. I love the setting. I love the outdoor amphitheater, and you know, we like going to concerts. So
yeah,
like
so do I.
That too. Now, but at the same time, I don't plan when I go there. I don't plan to spend a ton there because of how expensive it is. You know, so there's a trade off there too. And certainly, you can go have a good time at a game and just not, you know, eat before you go and be fine. I mean, you can do that too. I will say on this point too, and Jared texted me on this whole
of course
on,
he did.
On this. Well, on this whole topic, he sent me like the email he got. I mean, appreciate your lazy journalistic ethics. I mean, come on. I mean, that's just a bad look for Nashville SC. You know, I understand that Jared gets people triggered, and I don't know. You know, it looks like it just his tweet was just about the hot dog. But yeah. I mean, you know, again, this is, you're not just talking to Jared here, and this is a legitimate conversation for you to consider. As Nashville SC about, well, you know, how you're going to get people to consistently come to your place.
Jim says on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Chase, I would rather see ticket prices kept as low as possible. Concessions are something that you don't have to buy. Make sure fans, especially those with kids, can afford to go to the game. When they have trouble selling concessions, they may adjust the pricing down the road. I think that's a valid point. You don't have to. Like, you don't have to go have a beer. You don't have to get a hot dog. You can eat before the game. You can eat after the game. I get that. But the option is there, and I think the option should be affordable too. I mean, I love that the ticket prices are affordable, and that's exactly right. So it's what's the balance? And will they – could they adjust? Yes. Will they? Maybe. I don't know. And like I said, to preface all of this, you know, I that's one picture. And so there could be other options elsewhere, and I totally respect that. And, you know, we may be looking at a club level or something to that effect. So we don't have all the facts, but the facts that we do have, in my opinion, and I agree with you, you got to have a better response from the organization. It's not good. So that's just kind of my ultimate thought.
But you're also selling the experience. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to get concessions, but it just makes the experience better. It makes people want to come back. Oh, we had a couple beers with our friends. And for soccer not being as popular in Nashville, they're not just going to go to watch the game. You need the experience and everything else around it to be great, like you said, to get those people who might buy a ticket, but then they're like, eh, I don't really love soccer and the experience wasn't that great. I probably won't come back.
I think that's a really, really good point, and I want to continue that up next, and we'll read more of your texts. 615-737-1025. You can also call us at 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about 1025. The game has your chance to win a pair of tickets to the ARCA Menards Series race and NASCAR Xfinity Series doubleheader on Saturday, April 23rd, and a pair of tickets to the Geico 500 Cup Series race on Sunday, April 24th at the Talladega Super Speedway. Just submit a picture of you wearing your NASCAR swag using the hashtag Dega to the game's social accounts, Twitter at 1025thegame, or Facebook and Instagram at The Game Nashville. So show us your NASCAR swag. And if you don't have any, I'll let you borrow some Dale Earnhardt shirts. We'll continue this up next here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick as well. Terry Crisp coming up in just a few minutes at 8:30. We'll talk to him about the Nashville Predators and get back into them. But right now, taking your texts and your calls at 615-737-1025, the concession prices at Nashville SC. And Joe, before we get back to the phones, this is the point I want to make. And I said this when we were talking about this earlier, that even though Nashville SC has been around for a couple of years now, they've had success. They've had the most success out of the gate of any pro sports team to expand in this market, whether it's the Titans moving here. You know, the Oilers were 8-8 the first couple of years, and then they go to the Super Bowl in 1999 when they became the Titans. The Predators have had a lot of years of expansion and tough times to actually build that franchise to what it is. So hats off to Nashville SC, Mike Jacobs, the general manager, for building a team that can compete right away. But with that said, you're still building a fan base. And now that you're in your new home, that's when you're going to get some people that are like, all right, now I'll go check it out, because they're not playing in a football stadium anymore. They're playing in their own place. A lot of people were that way with the Titans when they were playing in Memphis and Vanderbilt. Then Adelphia Coliseum opens up and they're like, cool, I'm in now. Now it really happens. It's not a full reset, but it's kind of like now you're going to get new fans in, because you're still in the building process. And if you're Nashville SC, and I like a lot of the people over there, I had the opportunity to work with a lot of great people and learn about the sport. You know, I always credit Wes Bowling and John Freeman, the radio team at the time, Kelly Glendening, kind of teaching me things, Tony Husband, Jamie Watson, and just learning about it. But there are a lot more people like me that are novice fans that didn't really care about soccer until they got here, that then there are the diehards. And that's who you have to focus on, of building that fan base. And like I said earlier, a $6.50 hot dog is not the way to do it. And if you're Nashville SC, you kind of got to know where you are. You got to know the lay of the land, that you're still the new kid on the block and you're still competing with an established fan base that the Preds have, an established fan base that the Titans have. And both organizations have done a good job of working with, you know, SC to help them build that fan base. But you got to know your place. And like, you look at the Sounds, they realize they're AAA baseball. And so you're paying AAA prices for a beer, for a hot dog, for a ticket. And they know their spot. And that's just kind of my message here of, and again, I preface this by saying that's one picture we've seen, but you gotta do things that are going to build that fan base by getting the average fan and not those diehards.
One thing I'll disagree a little bit with both of you on this city as a soccer city, because I mean, look, just like I said, pop last segment, someone on the text line was like, it's not pop, Joe. And I said, oh yes, it is, in all caps. I mean, the Yankees have trampled this place. You know, I mean, look, where I live, someone made a joke on the text line, like they're just making the prices, you know, comfortable for the Californians who are moving here. I mean, but it's funny, but it's also true. I mean, there is a massive and growing, I think, soccer community here, you know, and people who love soccer.
No doubt.
I mean, 22,000 tickets, that's a huge 22,000 season tickets. And I know it's like, I believe that's like partials included, right? I believe like that's people who bought some level of season ticket. That's a huge number. Sure. That's really impressive.
And that is fantastic. It's just, my whole point is just, you're continuing the process of building the fan base. I'm not saying they don't have any fans. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying it's a continued process because you want to build it and you want to keep those fans. I want to see them have more than 22,000 season tickets next year and the year after that.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, and again, that also gets into, we've talked about earlier in the show, but it also gets into the soccer diehards. I mean, there are soccer diehards who are like, yeah, okay, I'll go to an MLS game, I guess. But I'm going to the pub because Liverpool's playing, you know, at 9 a.m. on a Sunday. Like, that's my big weekend soccer thing, you know. And that's where it's just different for MLS than other, you know, major professional sports leagues in this country. But this is also where, to me, a place like this and an experience like this, if you make it great, then it's you can't quantify what that means. Look, I'll go to the Preds. You know, my daughter Caroline, I don't know that she's necessarily a huge hockey fan, probably likes, you know, other sports more than hockey, but she absolutely, if you give her a choice of something to go to, she's going there because she loves it. She loves what they do in game. She loves the experience, right? With different people's or experience when you're there as a fan. So that's an example of someone who like would go any night you could give her a chance to go because of, it's just fun there. So you know, it's a little different. I mean, I think it's harder for football and soccer to have that constant, that entertainment, but like sure. the soccer crowd itself to me makes it fun, right? Like the support groups are their own spectacle. Like, so there's a lot to offer there, but yeah, you just don't want something that's a deterrent to people like, oh, but man, $7 hot dogs.
You know what? One of the best things Nashville SC has done. I think this was a brilliant idea. The guitar riff, because that's a Nashville thing. Yeah. You have a Nashville SC guitar. You bring in a badass guitar player. I wanted to do it one time. Like, come on, let me get up there and riff a little bit. You bring in somebody like that, that whether they're a name or not, and you get the crowd going with this awesome guitar riff, and then you play the game. It's a simple thing. It doesn't take a lot, but it's a unique Nashville thing. And I thought that was a brilliant idea that they did that. And totally I would agree. Assume it continues at the new stadium.
Yeah. It'll probably be even cooler there, you know, and the more like just sort of, you know, because obviously Nissan can get, I mean, it gets a little bit expansive. I mean, you think about that in that place when it's packed, like right packed to the rafters. That's going to be really cool. I mean, this is a reasonable discussion, and it is hard to get the casual person there. They're going to have their supporters, and I'm blown away by what I see from like a soccer community and support group for the club. But you're right. You have to still. You are very much competing with a lot of different things, not just sports things, for the dollar and the eyeballs of the casual person who just wants to check this out or check that out. And you want to make it so they want to come back.
And a stat that somebody sent to me, the average beer price for the Titans is $10.50. A hot dog is $6. And I think that's a good comp to have. But my – and this person, you know, said the same thing. My thing is MLS and NFL are two different animals. And you kind of have to know that. And I think that the people running Nashville SC, from John Ingram to Ian Ayer, like they get that, and they're going to look at it. And hopefully their adjustments – they've already hit a home run with their ticket prices. I mean, the ticket prices are the cheapest in the MLS. And so that's already a good thing. But it's the total fan experience that you got to get. Real quick, let's go to Nate, who wants to weigh in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate, welcome in.
Morning, guys. The thing that kind of bothered me yesterday was when Jared kind of said that there's not really a big MLS fan base. I understand it's not the Titans or the Preds. They have to build up to that. But I feel like they built the stadium in the fairgrounds, because did they do research? And there's a – I really don't want to sound racist here, but the Hispanic population loves soccer. Yeah. And are most – of that population over kind of near the fairgrounds?
I don't know that for a fact, Nate, and I appreciate the call. But, I mean, that is a part of who you're appealing to. But that is also a part of the Hispanic population loves soccer, so they're going to go. And you know they're going to go. And, yeah, I agree. I mean, look, I know they have a great fan base. My whole thing is just keep building it, you know, after the first year. There's a lot of hype right now, and there should be a lot of hype right now. I want that hype to continue. And a lot of that, as we've learned with the Preds and the Titans, has to do with the on-field product as well. So
real quick.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I agree. Real quick, Chip from Mount Juliet on the text line, you know, brought up, you know, can you guys discuss the parking spaces? And we did earlier. And that, I mean, to me, that is the biggest concern about game day value of experience, because – If more than half of the people in the stadium have a rotten parking experience, see, that's where, like, you've got to fix that, deal with that, think about that as quickly as possible, because that could really be problematic. I'm more concerned about that than the food prices.
Yeah, no, I think that's a valid point. So we'll continue to discuss this as we go along. But up next, I have been waiting all week for this. When I knew I was going to fill in for Robbie, Terrence Arthur Crisp, better known as Crispy, will join us up next as you listen to Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thingy Matias, back here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Just visit littleguysfranchise.com. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. My absolute favorite. I know his grandkids are in town, but I feel like he adopted me years ago. Terry Crisp is on the line with us. Crispy, how you doing, my friend?
You know what? I just took it out on poor Michelle. I just vented on her. Get this one. I got, as you just mentioned, we have 16 of my relatives, our sons and daughter and grandchildren and relatives, all in for the game for the weekend. And they're all, and most of them are from Calgary. And you know the Battle of Alberta, Calgary and Edmonton, and they were just so stoked up for this game for us to take them to the woodshed. And boom. So now I got a lot of answering to do.
Yeah, it was a tough one. And Terry Crisp is brought to you by Copper Branch, Eat, Think, Change. Crispy, let's start with last night. And it was a tough one. And you know, in doing this as long as you have, whether as a player, a coach, or an analyst, that – you're going to have good nights and you're going to have bad nights. And last night was a bad night. But where I'm concerned is that 4 goals in 4 games for this Predators team, and you've seen things be a tick off. There's 8 games left in the regular season and you're fighting for a playoff spot. This is where you want things to click on all cylinders. And you saw some frustration from Coach Hines last night, and rightfully so, in talking about it. And it's easy to say, let's just move on, but last night was a tough one.
No, you know, Coach Hines, I really like him and enjoy him, because he's right up front and honest as a coach can be in certain situations, because you don't air all your dirty laundry in the press, as we find out as coaches early. But I thought last night he had every reason. And the trend is there. And the trend is we're not scoring goals. We're not arriving. We're not. And you know what was really irritating was for a couple of the games, not so much last night, mind you, because we only had two shots with about 4.5 minutes to go in the first period or whatever it was atrocious. But we used to have guys in the crease, guys banging and crashing and tipping pucks and making, looking for, we haven't had that for the last two games. Then when we do get chances, like point blank breakaways, and I said the other night, not last night's game, the night before, I said, if I hear Willie Donick sing one more time, oh, shots on the point, shots in the slot, just wide of the net, just high over the net, I'm going to scream. I'm going to holler. And I'm tired of that. But the thing that last night really upset me was the fact that when the game was over, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, that this whole game that Willie and Mace called, and Peter and Skilzy, I never heard about 6, 7, maybe 8 names mentioned on the air hardly. And I was asked, did I miss something, or was there 6 or 7 or 8 guys missing on that? And that, to me, says a lot.
So what does it say, Crispy? I mean, what are you concerned
that, 7 or 8 or 9 guys aren't showing up is what it says to me as a coach. And that's the truth. If I sat down as a coach and went back over that video, I'd be looking and saying, okay, where was he? Where's that line? What's this guy? What was their identity? What got them guys here? Why did we bring them here? What are they here for? And I'd want some answers on it. And I know it's a long schedule, but every team has a long schedule. Every team has the squeezed-in games. Every team has injuries, et cetera, et cetera. It can go on down the line. But our guys are not playing, and the coach has said this before, to the identity that they built. And it took them a while to build it. And they had it, and we were winning. And that identity is slipping away right now when we need it the most.
Crispy, Terry Crisp with us. Do you go and talk to somebody like a Matt Duchene or a Philip Forsberg that's leading your team in goals? They're sitting there at 38 and maybe have a hey, you know, don't worry about that number. That doesn't matter. I know there's something that you're chasing, and everybody's aware of it. But do you feel like with players like that, you have to have that conversation, or is it, you know, do they know that?
No, because those guys are playing their game. They're doing. They got 38 goals each. They're doing it. I mean, Forsberg's been a little bit of a spin now, but Duchene was working his name a lot last night. Had some chances, didn't bury them. And they're going to be there for you. So, no, that's not – what bothers me is the guys who got here and how they got here and how they played to get here and how they're going to play to stay here. And that's – like, we keep thinking we our depth. We talk about a depth chart, and we had our depth chart for a while. Remember when when our front line was not producing, the third and fourth lines took over, or the second and third lines took over and bailed us out. And so we don't have that now. I don't see that in our game. And if Josi and Forsberg and Duchene aren't clicking and going, what do we have left now? Who's there? I mean, Saros last night was hung out to dry. I mean, he made as many impossible saves. And that Edmonton team is a good team. I'm taking nothing away from Edmonton whatsoever. And I mean, they have two of the best, Dreisaitl, McDavid, and a couple other guys, henchmen that are pretty good hockey players too. But that still doesn't take away from our game that, you know, like John Wooden said, now you heard me say this theory before. John Wooden didn't worry most about the other team. I want my team ready to play. I want my team knowing what our system is and what our game is and what our attack plan is. That's what I worry about the most. And I think last night that was out the window.
Crispy, I feel like you've got an appropriate amount of fire right now for a huge weekend of being on the call. Between the fire for the team and imploring them to play better, and then of course this weekend your family's here, you're going to have you and Pete going to be together calling two games. What do you think this weekend's going to be like for you?
Yeah, Crispy, if you need me to introduce you to your broadcast partner and have some meetings so you guys get on the same page, I'm happy to help that. I know it's been a while.
I was laughing last night. We were coming out of the rink, and Pete and I and Claudia and Sheila and some of us were walking along, and I said to Pete, yeah, the band will be back together for a weekend, I said, you do know, eh, Pete, that the theory of this, the thing is that you carry me. You know that, eh? He started to laugh. He says, what changes? It's been over 16 years now, Crispy. I got used to it. So, yeah, the fun is still there. The humor is still there. And we're going to have some fun with it. Yes, we will. I'm looking forward to it.
Just do me a favor and don't talk about soccer kicks, please.
Everything comes around to bite you right in your rear end. But it was fun.
What do you think?
Actually,
go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, it's too bad Dan Hamhuis isn't on the roster right now, too. I mean, there's a lot of great assists, right?
Damn Hamhuis.
Hey, Retby, I got to tell you, you got a tremendous compliment the other day after you've been here with, and you and I and Sheila having a little coffee and doing a little interview and that. And when you left, and Sheila started, she says, you know, he's a really nice person. I said, yes, hon, you know, Rex is a really nice person in spite of what the boys in the radio say.
See, Sheila knows. That's she nice. That tell Sheila, thank you.
So, Crispy, as we move into tomorrow, it's an early game, which, you know, is fun for the fans to have a day game, obviously a different routine for the players. But you're going up against a team that has nothing to play for. And from my – just looking from things outside – that worries me a little bit. So is there an extra element of coaching that you have to do, knowing how you played against Edmonton, to kind of get them ready for Chicago? Or do you think the room kind of polices itself and they know what's at stake and they got to go get 2 points?
I would be hoping, if I'm a coach, that the room could police itself, that those guys would look to each other and each other in the face and say, you know, that was just a horrible outing and whatnot, et cetera. But being a coach, I don't want to put all my eggs be Easter time in that one basket either. So, no, we've dropped too many points to Ala Buffalo and Ala Ottawa and a couple other teams, the points that we should have had, that we should have garnered. And why should we have had them? Because in my mind, I feel we're a better team. We didn't get those points. Now it's down to the stretch run where we need the points. You look at what's happening with Dallas, Vegas, ourselves, the Blues have moved on, Minnesota's being unreal. So, no, I would, if I'm coaching, I'm having a little talk with my team, too, about, and to me, there's talks and there's talks, and a lot of times coaches prefer, which is right, to have one-on-ones or bring in one line or bring in one defensive pair to talk in your office and to get straightened out, whatnot. But there comes a time when the whole room has to hear it in the whole room, because sometimes you've got players in there that don't want to say it. They know it's there. It's like the elephant's in the room, but you don't want to address the elephant. Well, somebody has to.
Well, Crispy, this is your weekend, and I know you don't like those things, but enjoy it and enjoy the family. I am so excited, and I have rubbed it in Ryan Poore's face that I get to be the PD when Pete and Terry are back on the radio, and he hates it.
Nah.
he couldn't do that. But we'll be listening tomorrow and watching you guys on TV on Sunday as well. But thank you, my friend, and I'll steal your line. I'll see you at the rink.
Thank you, guys, and it's going to be fun. And listen, we still have the greatest fans in the world in our city here, football, hockey, soccer, whatever. And I know one thing, they'll be with us right to the end. Whichever way it rolls, they'll be there for us. So, and all of you, hey, have a great, great Easter weekend, okay? And stay safe, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Crispy.
Thanks, guys.
Terry Criss, brought to you by Copper Branch Eat, Think, Change, joins Robbie and Rex Road every Friday at 8:30. And that will continue for the rest of the season. And he's already told me that, you know, his phones will still work after he retires. So, he will want to talk some.
He doesn't know this, but he's still coming on every week next year too. I don't care if he's retiring.
I told him it's a see you later, not a goodbye, and he liked that.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt Crispy's not going to be a stranger. But again, if you are just hearing this for the first time, tomorrow pregame at 10:30 with Darren McFarland, Crispy and Pete Weber back together. The band is back together. The original broadcast team for the Nashville Predators. They will do radio tomorrow, TV on Sunday. And excited on Sunday, we'll have Willie and Hal on the radio side. Max Herz is also going to jump in for a little bit and help out with things. And Hal will move to the desk tomorrow. So moving some pieces around, but excited to put the band back together for Crispy's weekend, as they're going to honor him Sunday during the first intermission. So make sure you get your tickets. You're not going to want to miss that, because he is a gem. But no doubt about it. Coming up next here on Robbie and Rex Road, Call Your Shot Friday. We'll do that on the other side. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 1025 The Game. That is right. It is Call Your Shot Friday. Chase McCabe in for Robbie Stanley today. It's kind of weird hearing a promo of myself on the show that has my name, and I'm not on it today. But that's okay. Call Your Shot Friday is presented by Days Delta 8, the highest quality standard of Delta 8. Real quick, before we get to that, Joe, Bicycle Boy wants to weigh in on Pete and Terry. Bicycle Boy, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, fellas. You know, I have thought often in the past how fortunate we were to get Pete and Terry, especially in the early years, on our broadcast teams. And I don't know any other team that's had a guy in the broadcast team that's won a Stanley Cup as a player and as a coach. But those guys were so good in those early years of explaining the games and you know, in a market that was considered not to be a hockey market, you know, a non-traditional market. Those guys did a fantastic job, and man, we were so lucky. I love listening to those guys, even when I'm at the game. I record the radio broadcast and the TV just so I can get to hear those guys. So sorry that he's leaving, but man, we are so fortunate.
Appreciate the call, Bicycle Boy. I agree with you completely. And I think it's going to be a fun weekend for sure. All right, Joe, I'm gonna let you take the reins here on Call Your Shot Friday, because obviously this is my first time doing this.
Okay, well, first of all, we go back to last week. So let's see. And usually we have a lot of wrongs, but that's what it's about.
That's
calling
what makes
a
it
shot.
Fun.
Calling a shot. That's right. So my shots, I had Scottie Pippen Jr. back to Vanderbilt. We're still waiting to find that out. I think that the feedback plus the name, image, likeness, money, I think we're seeing a correct shot by Michelle that we're going to see in college basketball more of these sort of fringe guys for good programs where they can make money in college come back, which is good for college basketball. I had Vanderbilt and UT will both be in Omaha. The Vols will win it all. We're going to have to see on that one too. They did finally lose a game this week. And then I had Colton Sissons with 2 goals and a 4-3 win over the Panthers. That did not happen. Robbie had Forsberg reaching the 40-goal mark versus the Panthers. Did not happen. Dustin Johnson win the Masters in a playoff over Brooks Koepka. No. Tom Izzo will join the show and become Jay Glazer for us. He may. That's
yes.
Possible. Tiger Woods hole-in-1 did not happen. Vanderbilt baseball will not lose another series the remainder of the season and will make Omaha. And they actually lost a series just that weekend. So, Michelle, Tiger wins the Masters. No. Jimenez 2 homers with the Tigers. No. Red Sox sweep the Yankees. No.
No.
But Oscar Tshiebwe stays at Kentucky. I don't know that was that big of a shot. It was very much trending that way. However, you are right. So there you go.
Wait, is it official? Official?
Isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think it's basically official, but it's not official.
Okay.
Official.
Well, you're
it's
going
not,
to
it's
be
not
right.
Facebook official.
It is not Facebook official.
Is it MySpace official? That's the question. Okay, so we'll hold off on that. I'll be very. It looks like it's. I thought he actually had said that. Didn't he put something out on Instagram? That's the thing. It's like Oscar Tshiebwe put something out on Instagram. I'm like, oh, okay, so he's staying. Maybe he just put out like. Some just
it's
random.
Like Instagram's the official way to announce anything. Transfer portal, everything. The official statement.
Yeah. I mean, I put a video on Instagram this morning saying I was filling in for Robbie, so it wasn't official until I did that.
It's official.
Nice. Insta-ficial.
That's right.
All right. So I guess I'll go ahead and start this week. Matt Duchene is gonna get 2 goals tomorrow. He will be the first Pred to reach 40. And he will do it against the Blackhawks. Steph Curry will come off the bench, and he will score 20 for the Warriors tomorrow in a rout of Denver, and it's still not, last I saw, was not completely sure he was going to play. If he does, probably off the bench. Tennessee baseball just had its 23-game streak broken by Tennessee Tech this last week. They did wooden bats, and of course, then everybody brings back all the stuff, you know, from the balls and their bats and Vanderbilt and everything. They lost 3-2 game. They will rip off another 11 in a row before losing again. And yes, that is a shot in SEC baseball. I mean, it's easily, really, the SEC is a baseball conference, if we're being honest. And 11 straight would be a heck of an achievement. They are an unbelievable team. And finally, Jeff Fisher's Michigan Panthers will kick 5 field goals in their season opener. Ah, yes. Got to give a tribute to Jeff Fisher. Come on. Hey, you know what? If 3 points make sense, take the points. I mean, there's some NFL coaches who could learn from Jeff Fisher. I'm just saying.
I was about to say, is he one of them? Is that somebody you're talking to?
Well, he's just so contrary to like what they do now in this league. You know, it's actually kind of amazing.
Okay.
What some guys do.
Chase, right. You want to go next?
You go, Michelle.
Okay. I'm going to a little bit over to Memphis. They play the Timberwolves this weekend. I'm going to say Memphis wins by exactly 12 points, and Ja Morant has a triple-double, coming back strong as we roll into the playoffs. I already got – keep my Oscar one, even though it's just not Facebook official yet.
Okay. We got you on Oscar.
Okay. The Predators have – both games are shutouts this weekend in honor of Mr. Terry Crisp.
Mm.
That's a spicy one.
I want to clarify that shutouts, they get shut out or they get shutouts?
They shut out their opponents.
Yes.
All right.
In honor of Crispy, they get shut out. No.
It would get him riled up if they get shut out. You know?
Yeah, it would get him fired up. He was fired up when I called him. And then lastly, Joe, you're going to love this one. The White Sox win the World Series.
Oh, God.
Book it. Hey, I called that the Braves would win like right when I started last year in July. And
How'd that lock work out for you last week at the White Sox against the Tigers?
Sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about.
A hint. Well, we'll get to that later.
She misremembered.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Joe. Sorry.
Real quick, Call Your Shot Friday. My first time doing this. So, you know, I'm the NASCAR guy. So the dirt race at Bristol, Tennessee, coming up Sunday night. You can hear that right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, starting at 5 o'clock. Or, I'm sorry, on ESPN 94.9 starting at 5 o'clock. Everybody's thinking Kyle Larson, because he's such a dirt expert, is going to win this race. I'm saying Daniel Suarez, the 99 Trackhouse Racing, which is based in Nashville, co-owned by Pitbull and Justin Marks. Daniel Suarez ran fourth there last year. I think he gets the win, his first Cup Series win. So I'm calling that
at the
dirt race at Bristol. I'm so glad that you went Duchesne, because I basically had the same thing in my head, but for Forsberg. I think Forsberg gets 2 goals over the weekend. I'm not going to say tomorrow, but over the weekend to get 40 and be the first 40-goal scorer in Nashville Predators history. I think that happens. And then I got a long-term one that I'm going to throw in here. Matt Olson, who is the first baseman for the world champion Atlanta Braves, is going to have more home runs than the former first baseman of the Atlanta Braves, Frederick Freeman.
Oh,
who you just
man.
Got a divorce from.
Yes, we. Oh, it was messy.
Wouldn't you love that?
It was messy. Well, I mean, I think he had more last year, so I don't think I'm going out on a limb here. He had 39, Freddie had 31, but I'm calling it. He has more home runs this year than Freddie Freeman.
You still want Freddie back, though. Come on.
I mean, yeah.
He's still mourning the loss. It's okay.
It's tough,
you know,
man.
What?
It's just
you
like,
want it all.
I do. I mean, honestly, the last time I felt this way is when D-Mace got cut from the Titans. Like that's the kind of pain I'm feeling here. So, it's tough. But
sorry to reopen that wound. But you kind of, you know, I mean, you kind of put it out there. That's a good shot. That's a good one. We'll have to remember. You got to remember that you called that shot. Sometimes we forget our long-term calls.
Oh, I'll remember that one. And Darren will make me remember that one. Don't worry about that. So there you go. Call Your Shot Friday. Tickets for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, August 5th through the 7th, are on sale now. 102.5 The Game has your chance to win 3-day passes to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix now. Just text the word RACE, R-A-C-E, to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to get qualified to win. More details on the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix can be found at musiccitygp.com. Coming up next, we're going to talk association, the NBA, with Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo Sports. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game.